It's a privilege to have Steve Masto. He is my pastor because I'm a member of Blackhawk. He's pastor of Adult Ministries. And there are a few things about Steve you need to know. If he comes to your home, make sure to serve grilled cheese because he loves grilled cheese. And while he's at your home, you may want to ask him to check your car, if it's working, because he loves to rebuild cars and motorcycles. And he might want to take a break because he loves to run while he's looking at your car. So those are just some things about, not run away from the job, but he just loves to run. Because he's a soccer player, was and still is. In fact, he has a game tonight at 6:30 at Kiva. And because he's a soccer player, or was and is, you know what he's been following, the World Cup. And as he cheers for Argentina, I will be cheering for Ghana. So, but we will remain friends, Steve. Right. So Steve is married to Kathy. They have a high school, freshman high school daughter, Hannah, who is actually in Honduras serving on a short-term mission trip. And so welcome, Steve, to our community. And it's a privilege to have you.
Thank you.
Finding your spiritual pathways.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me be here. Thanks for inviting me. And it's kind of fun because there are a lot of Blackhawk people here and then other folks who I just know from being able to connect with you out in various things. You know, I never thought that moving to Madison would mean that I would get to work with parachurch organizations, because I lived in Wheaton, Illinois, which was the centerpiece of all parachurch, the parachurch world. And I grew up with my father working at for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, like the ultimate parachurch, you know, organization. And then he also worked for the National Association of Evangelicals, which was based in Wheaton. So we had this sort of I had a concept of what ministry meant just outside the church. Somebody says ministry, you have a tendency to think of, oh, that's what's going on in the church. But, you know, everybody who works here knows that that's not necessarily the case. There's a whole world of ministry outside the church. And so it's really fun for me to walk in Madison, Wisconsin, to walk into, you know, this building and to be able to talk about ministry outside the church. When I started in ministry, in church ministry, I was 22 years old, and I had no idea what I was doing. And I had a mentor, a senior pastor, who I worked for, and this mentor was a really good guy, and he was, and still is, someone who I could kind of count on in my life. He was the founding pastor, and is still the senior pastor of a church that's about 8,000 people, 7,500, 8,000 people. Right? It's just a huge place and in the suburbs of Chicago, and it's a wonderful church. Because of who he was and how he was wired, to this day, what he does to stay connected with God is to wake up before everybody else in the family wakes up, and he takes his Bible and he takes a journal, and he goes down to this special chair, this like lazy boy kind of chair, and he sits down in that chair. It's been the same chair for years and years and years. And he spends time with God in God's Word, and he spends time journaling. And then he prays quietly, and then he goes down to this Nordic Track machine in the basement where nobody else is, and he sings and he prays out loud, and he does this whole thing. And then he'll sometimes put on an iPod and listen to some worship music. And this has been his practice for as long as I've known him. And his wife tells me that even before I knew him, this was still his practice. Every morning, he faithfully does this same routine. And so because he was a mentor of mine, when I saw that that's what he was doing to stay connected with God, I said, well, that's what you do. So you have to get up at 5:30 in the morning, and you have to have a chair, and you have to have your Bible and your journal, and you have to go and you do this thing, and then you get on your Nordic Track. And this is what I was seeing, because I was 22, and I thought, this is exactly what you're supposed to do to stay connected with God. And I'll tell you something, I struggled for years to do exactly what he did, and I often failed. And it became, spending time with God became drudgery. Something that I was forcing myself to do, like eating vegetables. I don't really want to do it, but I have to do it because I know it's good for me. And I don't think that that's what spending time with God is supposed to be. I don't think God is real excited when we come to him like that, like, oh, here I am again. I guess I have to be here. That's probably not the attitude that God is looking for. The challenge for us, whether we use the word Christian or Christ follower or follower of Christ, whatever terminology we use, when we're talking about that, we're talking about is a relationship. We're talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're talking about a relationship with God. And just like any relationship, because we are finite and God is infinite, our relationship is going to have these ups and downs. There are going to be times when the relationship with God is harder, more difficult for us because of something we're going through, because of time commitments, because of lots of things. It's going to be much more difficult, take much more effort on our part. That's normal. Psalm chapter 63, David says this. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary, beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. What David is describing is this relationship with God. I don't know about you, there have been times in my life where I can say, yeah, I hunger and thirst for God to the depth of which David is describing here. But I can't say in all honesty that I wake up every morning with this driving desire to be under the shadow of God's wings, to want to flee into his presence, to think about him through the watches of the night. I think about a lot of things in the watches of the night when I can't sleep. But I can't say that I'm often driven to God. We often discover who God is in a church setting or in a setting like this where someone stands up and talks to us about who God is and describes Christianity. Or at least that's where we get curious about God. But a true relationship with God doesn't happen here. It's never going to happen because someone stands up in front of you and says, let me tell you about who God is. Let me tell you a little bit about Jesus. Let me describe some theology to you. That's not where a relationship is built. That's where we get information. A relationship is built in one-on-one moments. Just you and God together. No matter how many times I showed up here to do chapel, I would never get to know any of you. I might know your names, I might know your faces. I could go over to the wall and see who you are. But I would have to spend time with you for you to know me and for me to know you. We'd have to sit down over coffee and share our stories. That's the same thing with our relationship with God. It's a relationship. It's not something that we can just be taught. Kathy and I, my wife and I, talk about things in front of our kids in code words sometimes. Now, as they're getting older, it's getting tougher. Because in addition to our high schooler, we have a middle schooler. He's going into middle school this year. And they're both really smart. And so when we were little, we used to be able to spell things. We used to be able to say, do you want to go over to the, you know, ice cream? You know? And we could say it and just sort of go like this. And we could say, ice cream? real quietly, and they wouldn't hear us. Now, if you say ice cream anywhere in the house, it's like, are we going to Culver's? And so I just know that that's the case. So you have to be really careful. You used to be able to do that and spend this, do this whole code word thing, but no relation, no real conversation can take place with code words. Actually, what we have to do, if we have to talk about something, is we have to go behind closed doors, we have to shut the door and sit down and say, okay, let's talk about this openly, honestly. Last night, because our daughter's gone, her son went to bed, and that was when my wife and I, we had not really talked all day, and we sat down and for about half an hour, 40 minutes, we just sort of filled each other in on what had been going on during the day. Totally unhindered speech and action. When we talk about connecting with God, the problem is there have been lots of books written about this. All kinds of books. We call the process of connecting with God spiritual disciplines. We say you have to practice spiritual disciplines in order to really have this relationship with God. Unfortunately, our tendency is to act as though God plays favorites. I don't know if you've ever looked at the books that are out there on different spiritual disciplines. But, let's do this. Think of someone from your own life for just a moment who has a really close relationship with God. Think of someone, if you could emulate anybody in their prayer life, in their Bible reading, in their scripture memory, what are some of the things that they practice? What are some of the disciplines that you see in their life that you would love to emulate? Just shout them out.
Scripture reading.
Okay, what else?
Memorizing scripture.
Okay, memorization.
Quiet time.
Okay, the old QT. Yes. What else?
Journaling.
Might be one L, I'm not sure.
Prayer.
Prayer. Anything else?
Retreats of silence.
Yeah. Treats. Other spiritual disciplines. Fasting. Yeah.
Taking a true Sabbath.
Oh, yeah. Sacrificial giving. Generosity. Yeah.
Rest.
What's that again?
Rest.
Service. So, to connect with God, do this. Let's stand for closing prayer. Is anybody else intimidated by this list? Because if we have to do these things, I can do some of this stuff on a regular basis. I can't do all of this stuff consistently because I'm not that disciplined. I'm not that good. I actually know people who probably their life looks like this, but it's very few people. I think that's part of the problem with connecting with God, or with thinking about connecting with God, is that we have oversold the idea that all of these things have to happen in order for us to be really spiritual. Intellectuals and good readers, and those with strong scholarly backgrounds, people with very strong self-discipline, are actually usually assumed to be more spiritual. If you've ever picked up a book on the spiritual disciplines, what you're going to find is someone prescribing what is for many of us a pathway of intellectual pursuits. meditating on God's Word, studying God's Word, memorizing, reading huge chunks, spending focused time, hours and hours in prayer, fasting. These are all things that tend to be a little bit more on the intellectual side. So here's a question for us. Which one of these describes you? I have tried all of these disciplines, or at least most of them, and I found that I can do them occasionally, but I can't sustain them. Or I can sustain the disciplines, but I'm not sure that they work as advertised. There's no like magic formula to these things. I do them and I'm like waiting for the shaft of light to come from God and to tell me exactly what I'm supposed to do, and it doesn't happen. Or I found these to be really helpful. I love all these things. And I do them regularly, and it's great. Or these things don't help me all that much. Or maybe none of the above describes you. But God made us very uniquely, each one of us. And the way we're wired impacts the way that we are to connect with God, that we relate to God. And temperament makes a difference. God created us all uniquely. So if God created us all uniquely, He didn't create all of us to be intellectuals. He didn't create all of us to be able to memorize as easily as others of us. What do you do if you have ADD and you are prescribed that the only way that you are really to connect with God is through reading the Bible? But you have ADD or you have dyslexia and you can't read well. What did people do to connect with God before Gutenberg invented movable type? And reading wasn't possible. So, are these things really the things that we have to do in order to connect with God? Several years ago, I was sort of set free by being presented with a little list of different ways that we connect to God. They're called spiritual pathways. I just want to share these spiritual pathways with you. I want us to understand what these are. When we talk about a pathway, we're not talking about a pathway that leads to some other truth. We're saying these are things that help us best connect with God, who we are, who God has wired us to be. How is it that we best connect with God? So let me give you an example of one. First one is the intellectual pathway. Intellectual pathway says this: as I study about God, I draw closer to God. Okay, our senior pastor at Blackhawk, intellectual pathway to the nth degree. Our teaching pastor at Blackhawk, same thing, intellectual pathway. Love the intellectual pathway. And they will sit and study, and you give them hours and hours of study and a pile of books, and they are as happy as can be. In fact, our senior pastor this weekend told a story about having this big pile of books and, you know, being there and studying all day. And I looked at my wife in the middle of the service. I looked at my wife and I said, I would die. I'm not an intellectual pathway person. You give me a stack of books on theology and I'll read them for a little while. And I'm like, do you have a novel around? Or can I go and do something? Can I go for a bike ride or something? That's not my pathway. It doesn't mean it's bad. And it doesn't mean that I can't or shouldn't be occasionally intellectual or pursue intellectual things. It means that if I'm spending 95% of my time on the intellectual pathway, I'm not connecting with God the way I should. Another one, the relational pathway. The relational pathway says this: I never feel closer to God than when I'm in a relationship with other people. And for relational pathway people, we have to have lots of connections, lots of connections with other believers in particular. Life groups and small groups, and we connect with them and we can study the Bible together and we can do life together, and that's part of what we do. The relational pathway is that we see God at work in other people, and people feed into us and we feed into them and we feel close to God. It's a relational pathway. Third one is a serving pathway. Serving pathway says this: when I'm serving other people, I feel closest to God. So when I'm actually actively engaged in service to God, that's when I feel most connected. And I'm behind the scenes and nobody knows what I'm doing. I get to do this little thing and I get to go home and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit when I do that. It's a wonderful thing. Fourth is the worship pathway. And whether it's corporate worship or personal worship, what you're looking for is that experience of what we just did like 15 minutes ago. There's something in you that gets sparked when the music starts or when you can read prayer with everybody else. You're in a worship setting. You can kind of close your eyes and focus on who God is, and you get to magnify back to Him, reflect back to Him His greatness, and that just fills your soul. And you say, man, if I could be in a church service every day, that was what I would love. Whether or not even there's teaching, it's just the worship service itself that I love. And there's the activist pathway. The activist pathway says this: I feel closest to God when I'm actively engaged in His work. This is my personal pathway. I am never closer to God than when I'm super, super busy doing stuff at church. Because I'm counting on God, I'm relying on God, I'm holding close to God, I'm praying all the time, God, you know, help me in this next meeting and in this. The more active I am, it seems like the more disciplined I become. There's the contemplative pathway. The contemplative pathway says this: I have to go where nobody else is. I have to remove all distractions, all noises, sit down, maybe in my one chair that I use, and nothing can distract me. I have to tune everything else out and focus. But that's not everybody. And then lastly is the creative pathway or the creation pathway. And you connect best with God when you either experience the world that God has made and you see His creative elements in it, or when you're creating something creative yourself. And that's how you experience God in the best way possible. And you look at these different pathways and you say, well, which one is right? Yeah, well, I'll tell you which one is right. The one that God has wired you to be. And sometimes it's not one. Sometimes it's a combination of a couple, and that's fine. But the takeaway from this is this. These are relational pathways. They're not theological pathways. There's only one way to God. That's through Jesus Christ. But there are many ways to nurture a relationship with God. Within a relationship with God, we have to practice all the disciplines at some point with varying regularity. So prayer and fasting and scripture reading and personal worship and corporate worship, all of those things, these are all important. You can't say, you know what, I'm just not going to pray anymore. This whole Bible reading thing, God didn't wire me that way. I'm not going to read the Bible. You can't do that. That's not the point. The point is, in the way that you're wired, what can you do that you can be consistent in? So in my personal life, what I've discovered is that I need an eclectic relationship with God. I cannot sit down at the same time every day and have a very focused time where I do this for 15 minutes and then the alarm goes off and I do this for 15 minutes. I cannot do that. That is not who God wired me to be. There are days when I will take my iPod and I'll have a worship mix on there and I'll sit in a coffee shop and stare out the window and watch birds fly over and listen to worship music and pray and focus on the words and let it wash over me. There are days when I'll have a scripture on my iPod and I'll just listen to scripture. There are days I'll read scripture. There are days I'll journal pages and pages and pages. Because what I require for who God wired me to be is more of an eclectic path. Most of the spiritual discipline books out there are going to tell me that that's wrong, because that's not discipline. And what I'm saying is, God didn't build me that way. So why am I pushing back on who God built me to be? I want to do that. There's tremendous freedom, more freedom than we give God credit for, in who we are as people. If He built us to be a certain way, be that way. That doesn't mean we're going to have to always have it easy, or that we're not going to have to push back on some of the more negative elements of who we are. Because I'm an activist temperament, I have a tendency to get so busy that I forget to do the prayer thing and the worship thing. And yeah, of course. I'm going to have to push back on that. It is spiritual disciplines, part of what we have to do. So who are you? Who is it that God made you to be? Let me just write these down so you can see them one more time.
These are the pathways. You start with the intellectual. There's the serving. There's the relational. So you have study, doing God's work. You have having other people around you. Worship.
Activist. I'm going to make sure I get these in order.
Contemplative. Creation.
If you say, you know, I have this creation pathway and I never feel closer to God than when I'm on a long walk out in the woods, what you need to know is that if you don't buy some snowshoes and you live in Wisconsin and you just go into your house for 9 months a year and you're not out in God's creation, you are robbing yourself of who God made you to be. You got to figure out a way to get out in creation because that's where you connect with God best. Don't fight that. Go embrace that. Figure out a way to embrace it. If you're a contemplative person, one of the things that you absolutely need to do is find a quiet place. Go to the corner of a basement and face a wall. Tune out the world. Buy some noise-canceling headphones. But this is who God made you to be, so go be that. What we can't do, what we must never do, is force ourselves to become something God didn't intend for us to be. So, here's what we do next. How do we know which discipline we are? Some of us, or which pathway we are? Some of us look up here and we know instantly. We're like, oh, that's me. For some of us, it's hard. One of the things I encourage you to do is to try every discipline you come across. Try reading the Book of Common Prayer. Try spending contemplative time alone for half an hour at 5:30 in the morning. See how that works for you. Try a nature walk. Try getting really, really busy doing God's work. Try all of these things. Try fasting if you've never fasted. Do these things. Try them all. Then keep what works. What is it that works for you? Here's one of my frustrations. I grew up believing that if you fasted a lot, that was really spiritual. But I can't fast. My body doesn't like when I fast. And it starts to shut down, and I have thyroid issues and some other things. If I eat nothing, I'm in trouble. So, am I disobeying God or being less spiritual? No, God created my body. He knows exactly how I work. He understands that. I've got to find what works and keep it. The other thing I have to do is I have to be honest. But to be honest about, am I not doing this because it's hard? Am I getting to bed too late? That's why I don't get up in the morning? And who in my life is telling me that? And then I need to know myself. What traits in my personality are impacting my spirituality? What works well for who God has made me to be and what doesn't work so well? So, with this in mind, what I encourage you to do is going out from here is try to figure out what your spiritual pathway is. And I'm going to send a link. The link is really long, so I can't like post it on the board or anything, but I'm going to send a link to either Lisa or to Melissa Mosier, and she can, one of them can get it out to anybody who would like to. And it's a link that is a little assessment that helps you find your spiritual pathway. And it is a great thing to do if you're not sure what it is. And then figure out what that is, take some time, and actually go do it. God created us, every single one of us, very, very uniquely. And instead of fighting that, how about we embrace who God made us to be and see if it doesn't change our time that we spend with God. Let's pray together. God, we acknowledge and understand that all of us need to pray, that we need to read your word. We need to spend time in worship. We need to spend time serving. We need to be talking to lost people who don't know you about Christ. We need to be doing all that. There are certain things that we have to do. We understand that. How we do those is very different. And I thank you for giving us the option of how we do those. And God, I pray for each one of us. I pray that we would discover how it is that we best connect with you. And God, that we would begin to spend time with you, not just out of this driven sense of obligation, or I work at a Christian place and I have to do this, or my accountability partner is going to ask me. So God, I pray that we would, over time, because we love you, desire so much to spend time with you. And that finding our own pathway, the pathway that you've designed for us to connect what best with you, would be a huge help in allowing us to do that. God, keep us strong and keep us from sin and keep us connected to you. We pray in the name of Jesus. We all agreed and said, Amen. Amen.